Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Helicopter, boat, and four-wheeler rescues were the order of the day in Gulfport, Illinois, after a levee broke along the Mississippi River. That's Grafton, Illinois, not far away. Across the river in Iowa, the flooding is a lot worse, with 16% of the state's farmland underwater. State Emergency Management Administrator David Miller.
The good news is the floodwaters are receding in much of the state. The bad news is we are still in a flood fight.
CBS's Cynthia Bowers is in Burlington.
The town here has got a number of buildings underwater, but there are buildings that are like outdoor recreational buildings and their auditorium. They've got a lot of sandbags here. They say the water is supposed to crest tonight around 26 feet. It's a little above 25 now, and they feel certain that the sandbags are going to hold.
The bridge between Iowa and Illinois in Burlington has been closed because of the floods. The next one is 20 miles away, and it's closing too. Slowest home building report since 1991 in May. Dave Siders at the American Home Builders Association says there are just too many houses already on the market.
Having starts down this much at this point from the peaks and looking at weakness on the start side, I think through the balance of 2008, does pave the way, you know, for a housing recovery later on.
Inflation is actually pretty tame, just 0.2 point higher last month, despite the soaring fuel and food prices we feel so much. When the big kid, age 18, came to the lemonade stand and stole the $17 and change the younger kids had earned, Terre Haute, Indiana police say he didn't figure on one thing.
Shocked. It was just my immediate reaction to chase after him.
12-year-old Dominique Moorfield, who followed the crook, got his address and called the cops on him. An appeals court has turned down the Liberty Council's effort to stop gay marriages in California until the voters have their say in November. An initiative and referendum is expected to be offered to declare marriage in traditional man-woman terms. It's on the ballot. In the meantime, however...
It's progress towards equality.
It's just validation of our relationship.
She was famous for legs that went all the way up to, oh, here. Actress, dancer, Sid Charisse's real name was Tula Elise Finkley, which doesn't move across the dance floor of your mind in quite the same way. She was from Texas. That music is from Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly. Fred Astaire called her beautiful dynamite. Film critic Andrew Saris.
Her legs, beautiful legs. You know, I'm a classic leg man, so I always found her fantastic.
Her legs were insured for $5 million. That's a whole lot of money back in 1952. Sid Charisse was 86. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 108 points. The NASDAQ was off 17. Oil prices, $134 a barrel. This is CBS News.
I'm going to say 8 words you won't believe. Buying a used car should not be painful. Now, here are 4 words that prove it. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Pilot-certified used Honda models. Made you a believer, didn't I? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda-certified used cars.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The world calls us small business owners, but really...
There's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Getting tough on romance in Rome, the nation's highest court in Italy has ruled the nation's paramilitary police must not have lovers outside of marriage, lest they sully the good image of the Italian police force. If you are depressed, your body doesn't work as well as it ought to, and surprising, unfortunate things can develop.
Diabetes can lead to depression. Now a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds the reverse is true. Johns Hopkins researcher Sharita Golden.
Even with sort of symptoms of depression below a clinical threshold, there's still a risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
Overall, a 42% higher risk, this study says. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
And this just in, late word from Texas. The execution of Charles Dean Hood has been postponed. Hood was convicted of killing two people in 1989, but his defense claims the trial judge and a prosecutor had an improper romantic relationship. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Are we into the Olympics? Are you kidding? This is America. We high-five after meetings. We applaud when delayed planes. We clap at the end of movies. I never got that. If you're going to go gaffly, get U.S. Olympic Team Banking. Only at Bank of America. You'll get the U.S. Olympic Team logo on your checks, card, credit card, payments. And a donation to the team with every check, card, or credit card purchase you make. Plus, with your U.S. Olympic Team Visa Rewards credit card, you'll earn points for cash, airline tickets, and cool Olympic merchandise. So go ahead and cheer when the fire department gets a cat out of a tree. Or some guy eats 37 hot dogs at the county fair. Let's show the Olympic team the same kind of spirit. This is America. Don't you belong at Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Member FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Let's get the party started. Up and down the left coast, oozing inland, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm your humble host, Peter B., based here in beautiful San Francisco. We've got a lot to talk about. There's breaking news out of Washington today. The stone wall erected by the Bush administration is crumbling on many fronts. And one of the most powerful fronts where that's occurring is regarding America's torture policy. Senate hearings today before the Armed Services Committee brought together a cast of characters who are all featured in a book called Torture Team, written by British journalist and attorney Philippe Sands. He is scheduled to be on the program with us this half hour, and Brian is feverishly trying to track him down. The number we have received no answer, so we will try to get him here as soon as possible. But in the meantime, we'll talk about the developments in Washington. And a little bit later on the program today, our friend Jason Leopold, investigative reporter who publishes at the Public Record, that's pubrecord.org, he's got the details on Jim Haynes, who is the former top legal counsel at the Defense Department under Don Rumsfeld, and he is a guy who really is responsible for the torture policy, although he had memory problems and other issues that made it a little bit tough to detail that in his testimony today. Also on the program, we had expected to talk with Jeremy Scahill, the author of the book about Blackwater, and Jeremy's airplane is delayed, and so Chris Hedges, former New York Times bureau chief in the Middle East, will be joining us on the half hour. And we'll talk about a range of issues related to Iraq, the contractors, and I'm not sure how much he knows about Jeremy Scahill's beat on Blackwater, but certainly plenty to talk about with Chris Hedges, who knows a lot about the Middle East. And also on today's program, Daniel Weiss. He's a senior fellow and director of climate strategy at the Center for American Progress in Washington. We'll talk about John McCain's bear hug for big oil. Yesterday, he announced that he's in favor of offshore drilling, including California's pristine coastline. And that's a big step back for a guy who says that he cares about climate change more than Bush does, and who also has tried to get a lot of mileage out of the support he gets from Governor Schwarzenegger, also a guy who's opposed to offshore drilling on the California coast. So we'll have a lively discussion with Dan Weiss next hour, then Jason, and then a brief report from Melanie Sloan at Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They lost a court fight over the White House emails. We'll find out the details on that. And Melanie is also digging into some of the sweetheart mortgage deals that members of the Senate and Congress got from Countrywide Mortgage, which is now, well, it's underwater like Cedar Rapids is. And if you have been following at all, the flooding of the Mississippi and related river systems there, it's devastating. And it's not just an overnight high water and then it recedes. It looks like the floodwaters in some of those cities will be there for weeks. And this has a ripple effect on the economy, with crops, including corn, badly affected by this. Some 20% of Iowa's corn crop is at risk right now. And that, of course, squeezes the food supply and the food shortages that we're seeing already. And I believe corn hit a new world record of something like $7 or $8 a bushel in commodity trading just over the past 24 hours. So lots to talk about. You're welcome to call the program with your comments or questions at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, we will work to reschedule with Philippe Sands, but we set up this interview about 10 days ago, and I've read his book, Torture Team, subtitled Rumsfeld's Memo and the Betrayal of American Values. And it's an excellent book. He really takes apart, in a dispassionate way, the origins of the Bush administration's torture policies at Guantanamo that were then exported to the Abu Ghraib prison and elsewhere in our new American gulag. And Philippe Sands, in a very detailed way, brings together the story of how this occurred and compares it to the cover story. And that's what's unraveling before the Senate Armed Services Committee in Washington today. And if you can only remember one name in these characters, it would be Jim Haynes. He is William J. Haynes III, I think, but he goes by Jim. And he was the top legal official in the Pentagon. And as Philippe Sands reports, what they did was construct what we call a plausible deniability chain. And what that means is they got a low-level JAG, a judge advocate general, an attorney in the military, named Diane Beaver, who was at Gitmo, to write a memo. And this is very interesting because the original memo that went from Gitmo to the Southern Command and ultimately to the Pentagon made it look like it was people at Gitmo, including the commanding officer, a guy named Dunleavy, who wanted to expand the quiver of techniques available to extract information from terrorist detainees. And Diane Beaver sent a memo up listing a series of techniques. These techniques were taken from the counterterrorism book published by the military, a manual called SERE, and there's a training program. And that is intended to harden our troops in case they ever encounter a situation where they're captured and they are subjected to these kinds of interrogation methods that we call torture. And what Philippe Sands points out and the Washington Post reports that the Senate Armed Services Committee published the first part of an extensive report today, which shows that in early 2002, members of the Bush administration were already trying to figure out how to handle the detainees. And the very selection of Guantanamo as the site for this supermax prison was quite intentional. It was offshore, and they believed out of reach of the United States Supreme Court, which four times has smacked the Bush administration Yes, the Republican Supreme Court has smacked them over the unconstitutionality of the procedures for prisoners, the detention process, the military tribunals that were cooked up and then codified in the Military Commissions Act of 2006. All of these have been ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court that put Bush in office. And so when you go back to the cover story, which is that the interrogators at Gitmo said, can we please torture these people? And Donald Rumsfeld said, well, let's think about it. Okay. But what it shows is that this guy, Jim Haines, orchestrated this process, bypassing the top legal minds in the various armed services divisions, bypassing most of the legal minds at the Pentagon. And this is where it's interesting. You know about Jay Bybee, Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department, wrote one of the original torture memos that is still classified, and other documents that have been published. Bybee now sits in a lifetime seat on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals here in San Francisco. That was his reward. He and John Yoo wrote these memos. And what's interesting is that the key figures in the Pentagon were not permitted to read the torture memos from the Justice Department. Those were stovepiped, compartmentalized. And what we see is that Rumsfeld and Haines very clearly operated in a manner to exclude those who would oppose these unconstitutional actions that are also violations, clear violations, of the Geneva Conventions. And it's interesting, this is all coming out right now. It's another reason why I support impeachment for this president and vice president. And next hour, we'll learn more from Jason Leopold about the testimony on Capitol Hill today. But I want to recommend this book to you. It's under 300 pages. It's well-written, easy to follow. It's called Torture Team, Rumsfeld's Memo and the Betrayal of American Values. And it starts with the December 2nd, 2002 memo that Don Rumsfeld signed off on, authorizing these interrogation techniques to be used on detainee 063, a man named Al Qahtani, who is variously described as the 20th hijacker, and yes, there are several people who've been described that way. And I just want to read a couple of paragraphs here from near the tail end of the Torture Team book. And it refers to a news conference that then-Attorney General Gonzalez and Jim Haines, who I've been discussing, held in June 2004, just after the Abu Ghraib photos went public. And they were doing what Nixon called a limited hangout. They were giving a little bit of truth, hoping to divert our attention from the underlying ugly truths. So when Gonzalez and Haines stood in the media room in June 2004, the narrative they spun was based on a foundation of untruths. Rumsfeld did not merely respond to a request from Guantanamo. He and his office were actively involved from an early stage, pressuring and bullying so that a request came. The supporting multi-page, single-spaced legal review was a fig leaf. The real but undeclared legal advice that was relied on came from Bybee and you. General Hill of the Southern Command didn't indicate approval of the request. A careful reading showed it to be conditional upon further legal advice from Justice, the contents of which was known by Haines and Gonzalez by the time the request arrived. Yet they have never been willing to confirm that fact because it destroys another part of their story. The Justice memos played a significant role. They did reflect a policies adopted by the administration in approving the abuse of Al-Qahtani. In the administration's narrative, the Pentagon's involvement only really began after General Hill's memo arrived in late 02, October of 02. In truth, the involvement was active and constant from February onward through Mike Dunleavy, the first guy in charge of Gitmo, and then his successor, Jeffrey Miller. And what Sand's book shows is that Dunleavy started the ball rolling and initiated these memos and then was abruptly replaced by Miller. And Sands goes on, Without access to the interrogation log, which he shows excerpts of throughout the book, that's the Catani log, nobody could challenge the claim that the new techniques didn't go beyond a bit of poking and light shoving that was mentioned. With the benefit of access to the log, it shows that to be a lie. As applied to Al-Qahtani, the new technique systematically violated the rules reflected in Common Article 3, and reasonable people believe their use on that individual amounted to torture. So we have it in black and white and out in the open today. The Bush administration's torture policy was top down. It was not something that was either a few bad apples at Gitmo or Abu Ghraib, or something that trickled up from lower ranks. It was envisioned, designed, approved, and implemented by Don Rumsfeld and other high-ranking officials in the Bush administration. We'll take a break and return. You're welcome to call. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Most mattress companies equate comfort with padding. That's why they stuff their mattresses full of polyfiber and cheap foam. But fibers break down, padding gets lumpy, and that doesn't spell comfort. The mattresses at SC41 Furniture rely on a far better design. We start with a base of 1,240 pre-compressed, motion-sensitive inner spring coils. Over that, we add a layer of highly resilient natural latex. And we finish it with a soft and stretchy cotton cover lined with pure natural wool. The result is unparalleled comfort, coupled with highly responsive support. And if that's not comfy enough, our double coil mattress adds a second layer of 1,500 microcoils for a total of 2,740 inner springs. That's almost three times more than a comparable U.S. mattress. For a better mattress design, come to SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000-mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Yeah, staying up all night and up all day. Sleep deprivation, one of the techniques used on prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and other torture shops in the American Gulag. Philippe Sands wrote this new book, and it's a powerful look at the origins of the torture policy. Pins it directly on Donald Rumsfeld and the attorneys, including Jim Haynes, the chief legal counsel at the Pentagon during the Rumsfeld era. And as an attorney, Philippe Sands is tough on his fellow lawyers who certainly should have known better, who offered one-sided advice. He critiques the John Yoo memo and brings in legal experts who say that John Yoo is culpable because he wrote an opinion that he knew his client wanted to hear and did not include other factors, you know, critical factors like the links to the Geneva Conventions, Common Article 3, and how those are embedded in U.S. law. Those were just glossed over because, after all, 9/11 changed everything. And I am so pleased by the Supreme Court decision last week, authored by Justice Kennedy, that 9/11 didn't change everything. And hopefully we can get back on track. I note in the news today that in the former Cambodia, that people who were tortured by the Khmer Rouge in the late 1970s are still seeking justice. And maybe the detainees from Guantanamo will be at it for that long, too. Brian and Eureka, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. Good afternoon. I just wanted to bring to your attention, if you haven't heard this already, and this sort of dovetails into your discussion about lack of accountability at higher levels of government, et cetera. I just heard on the national news at the top of the hour that another military person was exonerated of responsibility in a slaughter of Iraqi civilians, and that the only one currently left standing trial was the mastermind, the so-called mastermind of this massacre. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding? You know, we've got one guy left that we could hold accountable for a massacre. And I do give credit to a lot of military people that have a lot of, you know, good conscience, and they try and do the right thing and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But this smacks of whitewash to me. When 24 Iraqi civilians can be massacred and nobody's held accountable, all the military folks are exonerated except one guy?
I assume you're talking about the Haditha incident. I don't know.
I think so.
For
a
fact.
So.
And, you know, at least based on the reporting that we've seen, that was an ugly scene where American troops were angry because one of their own had been killed at a checkpoint, and they just went on a rampage and killed civilians and, you know, burned out houses and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the same incident, then I'm very concerned by this. And it just fuels a further, you know, image of the United States that we say one thing, you know, about freedom and liberty and rule of law, and we operate under a completely different set of cowboy rules.
I thought there was accountability that if you had military personnel, you know, going off on their, you know, on their own doing stuff like that, that they were by the military code of justice, the Uniform Military Code of Justice, whatever, they were held accountable.
Right.
All right, Brian, thank you for the call. We will pursue that story and bring you more information in the coming days. Stay tuned. Chris Hedges, former Middle East Bureau Chief for the New York Times, will be joining us next, sitting in for Jeremy Scahill here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments, gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. Oil companies are making huge profits these days, as you know. That's made villains of them to some people, especially since the price of gasoline and fuel oil has reached record levels and is making everything else more expensive, too. So some of the oil companies are trying to counter this bad guy image by projecting a greener, planet-friendly, civic-minded, nice guy image. Murphy Oil of El Dorado, Arkansas, a Fortune 200 company, has decided to spend $50 million over the next 20 years to give every high school graduate in town $6,000 a year for up to 5 years to use toward college tuition. $6,000 is enough to pay all the tuition at Arkansas State Universities. Murphy Oil's boss, Claiborne Deming.
We are quite a large company in a small community, so we can have a very immediate and real impact that we can see, and we can see it pretty quickly.
He just decided the kids needed help.
So I thought, dadgummit, we need to do something.
The story after this.
Southwest Airlines.
Can I change my flight? I'm on the 245.
Sure.
Okay, put me on the 405.
You got it.
Make that the 615.
Okay.
You know what? Can I change it to the next day?
Sure, what time?
7 a.m.
Okay.
I mean 8 a.m.
Okay.
Oh, you know what?
At Southwest Airlines, there's no fee for changing your flight. As with all airlines, you still have to rebook if your plans change, which could cost more. But unlike other airlines, we have no additional fee. No fuel surcharges or first or second bag fees either.
What am I on again?
Southwest. Fees don't fly with us.
You are now free to move about the country.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
Since Murphy Oil made its promise to the high school graduates of El Dorado, Arkansas, people from 25 other states have moved there. In fact, while house prices were falling almost everywhere else, they shot up 33% in El Dorado in the last year. Martin Crawford and his family moved there from Memphis.
When they explained what the promise was, it was a slam dunk for us.
Really? Then was that the closer?
Oh, that was definitely the closer.
Murphy Oil's Deming tells how Richard Schlesinger the kids can use the money at any college they want.
We want you to go to college anywhere you can.
And here's $6,000.
And here's $6,000. And if you go to an Arkansas public school, it's free.
You guys aren't normally seen as good guys, oil companies. Is this a new role for you? No.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee. And if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America,
I would decree no more armed military contractors. I can dream, can't I? We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Another author in absentia, Jeremy Scahill, was scheduled to join us at this time, but due to a scheduling conflict and I think a delayed airplane, he isn't able to be with us. Chris Hedges will be joining us here in just a moment. But I want to spend a minute here to talk about the work that Jeremy Scahill has done, because it's extremely powerful. He has pulled back the curtain on this murky private security contractor. The term mercenary is appropriate for Blackwater USA. Eric Prinz is the politically well-connected founder of that organization, and he has systematically recruited a number of top CIA officials into his orbit, most notably Kofor Black, who was a top operations guy at the CIA, and he revolving doored over to Blackwater just a couple of years ago. And Jeremy Scahill has a powerful new article that's an excerpt from the updated paperback edition of Blackwater, his book, that is in the brand new issue of The Nation magazine. And it's called Blackwater's Private Spies. And in it, he describes how, not content just with all those sweetheart Pentagon contracts and State Department contracts, that Blackwater has been expanding into the war on drugs, challenging DynCorp for its dominance of that security category. And as you read about it, you'll learn how they operate, that they did get approval for that training base that is hard by the U.S.-Mexico border south of San Diego. And Jeremy Scahill reports that just 2 weeks after that grisly incident in Nasur Square of Baghdad last year, last September, where Blackwater triggermen hit 17 people. I'm not sure they all died, but it was a bloody scene. And just 2 weeks later, their contract to protect U.S. officials and dignitaries in Iraq was extended. And that's despite all the public hoo-ha that led us to believe that Condoleezza Rice was looking into it and that we would not tolerate this kind of uncontrolled and unrestrained behavior by a military contractor. But that story continues, and Jeremy Scahill's on top of it, so I recommend his book, which is now out in paperback, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, and his article in the brand-new June 23rd issue of The Nation magazine. Chris Hedges is sitting in for Jeremy today, and Chris, thank you for joining us at the last minute.
Sure.
Nice to talk with you again. Chris Hedges, of course, spent many years as a correspondent and bureau chief for the New York Times, first in Central America, then in the Middle East. And he was last on our program talking about his book, American Fascists, The Christian Right and the War on America. We haven't talked about your book about I Don't Believe in Atheists yet, Chris, but we'll get around to that sometime after I've had a chance to read it. So thank you for popping in here at the last minute. Without putting you on the spot, do you have anything to add to Jeremy Scahill's work and some of the recent issues related to Blackwater?
Well, I didn't focus. You know, I did this seven-month investigation for The Nation magazine with the journalist Leila Elarian, where we interviewed 50 combat veterans on the record and printed this 15,000-word story called The Other War. And I think it complements the Jeremy's work in this sense. Jeremy, you know, does a tremendous job of sort of chronicling how these mercenary armies have risen to a $9 billion industry, Blackwater alone, $9 billion a year in government contracts since 9/11, and how they can carry out killing with impunity in Iraq. But I think that what we often don't face up to is the fact that our own occupation forces, our soldiers and Marines, are also engaging in indiscriminate killing of civilians. You know, in a war such as Iraq, and I've covered insurgencies before, where you have an elusive enemy who you rarely see, who can inflict grievous casualties on your unit through ambushes or most commonly through improvised explosive devices, where you live in a world where leaving the wire, going outside the perimeter of your base, is fraught with tremendous risk and danger. It is, to quote the psychiatrist Robert J. Lifton, these are atrocity-producing situations, and by that he means that it's a sort of short moral leap towards defining everyone around you, armed and unarmed, as hostile, as the enemy. And you, in that kind of mindset, he was writing about Vietnam, but I think it's applicable for Iraq, you lash out violently at everyone. You know, as somebody who spent many years as a war correspondent, when I read about the kinds of weapons that are being used in densely populated areas, it's terrifying. These are, you know, what's mounted on the tops of these Bradleys they're called saws, belt-fed saws. They're light 7.62 machine guns. They're using automatic grenade launchers, 50-caliber machine guns. And so an IED goes off or an Iraqi family approaches the checkpoint too quickly, and they're just obliterated. And very rarely do they stop and survey the damage. You know, the estimates now run, in terms of Iraqi civilian dead, from between 600,000 to 1.2 million. And I think that while I think it's more palatable for us as a population to accept the crimes of these mercenary forces, many of whom, by the way, are not American. They recruit heavily from Latin America, for instance, Chile, Honduras, countries like that, as well as the Philippines and India, South Africa, the former apartheid forces.
Right.
I think it's a lot harder for us to break that kind of mythic narrative of, you know, our heroes and come face to face with the reality of the war and what it means for Iraqi civilians, and that's, of course, what we set out to do by interviewing these combat veterans.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Hedges, in the book, you talk in one section about throwaway guns, and this is something that I've read about in news accounts of some of these incidents, but you describe it as something, in the words of these soldiers, that's fairly common. Let me read.
Yes.
When soldiers or Marines felt there was a possibility of an investigation into an incident that involved the death of a civilian, it was not uncommon to alter the scene of a shooting to make it appear as if the civilian had been armed. The troops would detain those who survived, accusing them of being insurgents, and plant AK-47s next to the bodies of those they had killed. This procedure, an attempt to cover up a war crime, became standard for some units by their third or fourth year of the war.
Yes, that was described to us by numerous veterans as sort of, you know, the way they operated, that they you know, they had throwaways, what they call them. They had old AK-47s tossed in the back of a Humvee that should, and remember, most of these incidents are never investigated, but, you know, should something happen where it looked like there might be an investigation, then they would plant these weapons next to the corpses.
Chris Hedges, a caller just a few minutes ago, told me about a story I haven't gotten the update on yet, but that there was an acquittal of another U.S. soldier, and he wasn't clear that this was the Haditha case, but it was 24 civilians who were killed in this incident. Do you have any fresh information on that acquittal?
I don't. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that. I mean, I think what's interesting, and, you know, you see the pattern of this with not only Haditha, but with Abu Ghraib, is that somehow everybody above the rank of sergeant is immune. You know, that they really go after the lowest functionaries. Unfortunately, the people who are orchestrating this war are never brought to account. So I haven't heard of the latest acquittal, but that would certainly fit a pattern. I think it's really important for listeners to grasp that you know, I've covered a lot of conflicts, and murder is always part of war. And by murder, I mean the taking of the life of someone who does not have the capacity to do you harm. Killing, the taking of a life of somebody who does have the capacity to do you harm, in wars like Iraq, rarely occur, because you never see the people who are carrying out the killing. And in a conflict like Iraq, where essentially, you know, what we have is a foreign occupation of a country, an imposition of foreign occupation by force, murder predominates. There's far more murder going on in Iraq than there is killing.
Chris Hedges with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His newest book he co-authored with Laila Al-Arian is called Collateral Damages, Damage, America's War Against Iraqi Civilians. Now, Chris, I wanted to ask you about the negotiations that are underway related to a status of forces agreement between Iraq and the United States. The UN mandate for the occupation expires again at the end of this calendar year, and negotiations are underway. And according to the New York Times on Monday, an Iraqi representative named Mahmoud Othman, a member of the Political Council for National Security, has said that America has that the U.S. has offered some concessions and that they are willing to withdraw their demand for immunity for the crimes committed by American soldiers and by contractors. And this seems to be a major shift because the U.S. has maintained that immunity posture since we invaded Iraq in 2003.
Well, that's Order 17, passed by Bremer, the first year of the occupation, which grants immunity to contractors, let's call them mercenaries, that's what they are. In fact, there's more accountability within the U.S. Armed Forces than there is within the mercenary forces. These people are completely, you know, because of the fiat, essentially shoved down Iraqi throats by Bremer, means that they're untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, you know, going back to the issue of the acquittal, what we've seen is a pattern of 5 years of war is that, you know, when there is an incident that is exposed, at best, a few low-ranking soldiers or Marines are punished or reprimanded, usually, you know, without, you know, tremendous consequences in terms of jail time or anything. And again, the, you know, the officer corps, the people directing the occupation are not touched. So I think this issue of immunity is, I think it's a window into how angry even our client government, even the al-Maliki government is, which of course has been, is set up and propped up by Washington, even for the you know, the anger among all levels of Iraqis, even those who do our bidding, is intense and fierce, and this is a good indication of that.
We're going to take a break and return with Chris Hedges. If you have a comment or a question, you can call me right now, toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The book we're talking about, Collateral Damage, is just out from Chris Hedges and Laila Al-Arian. And the subtitle is America's War Against Iraqi Civilians. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's Progressive Voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff, Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. As we mentioned, we've been scheduled to talk with writer Jeremy Scahill. This portion of the program, his new book about Blackwater, is out in soft cover, updated and revised. I recommend it to you, along with his article in the newest issue of The Nation. Should be on the website, too, at thenation.com. And his colleague from The Nation and Nation Books, Chris Hedges, has jumped in here. I'm grateful at the last minute. And, Chris, one of the other issues that is subject to negotiation right now is the status of prisoners that the United States has in its custody in occupied Iraq. And you have a section of the book, Collateral Damage, about this. The U.S. now says that about 21,000 Iraqis are held under our control. But as you point out in your book, some of the big detention centers like Abu Ghraib have been turned over to Iraqi authorities, at least on the surface. And so the question remains, hundreds of thousands of people have been detained at one time or another. And what is the impact of this, particularly with those photos from Abu Ghraib that will live for generations? Have we achieved the same kind of dark, barbaric status that Saddam had when he ruled Iraq?
Well, we've killed more people than Saddam has at this point. You know, when we wrote the book and when we did the interviews, which, you know, was hundreds of hours of interviews, we focused on sort of the pillars of the occupation, checkpoints, convoys, which are just freight trains of death. I mean, you know, these U.S. convoys are racing down the center, you know, jumping meridians of streets, 60, 50, 60 miles an hour, smashing into Iraqi vehicles to shove them off the side of the road, running over Iraqi civilians and not stopping. We focused on one of those as one of those pillars, on raids, and these are just ubiquitous. Every time an ambush is set up or an IED goes off, usually within a day or two, the U.S. occupation forces will cordon off a fairly wide section of a neighborhood or a village where the attack took place at night, and go in and kick down doors and search house to house for any kind of weapons or explosive material. And they will tear the houses apart. They will then often detain men and young men and of military age and haul them away and toss them into the Iraqi prison system. Relatives can spend weeks and months just trying to find out where they are. You know, there's often on flimsy or no evidence that they were involved in anything.
Let me jump in with this quote that you have from General Batiste. Probably 99% of these people were guilty of absolutely nothing, but the way we treated them, the way we abused them, turned them against the effort in Iraq forever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the great recruiting tools that the insurgents have, although we provide many recruiting tools for the insurgents. The humiliation and the anger. And I mean, these things, literally hundreds of these are carried out a week in Iraq. Probably several hundreds of thousands of Iraqis' families have experienced this terror in the middle of the night. They're sort of thrusting blind into these neighborhoods. There's no real intelligence. There's no real information. And it's just these massive sweeps. And then these people are tossed into places like Abu Ghraib or makeshift detention centers that U.S. forces have set up, in many cases abused, held for months without being released or ever charged. It's just one of the several egregious assaults on human rights that are part of daily fare in occupied Iraq.
And just in the past week, McClatchy Newspapers did an excellent investigative piece looking at individual detainees that we had kept at Guantanamo for up to 5 years. And most of these people are flat out innocent. They were caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, or they were, you know, from the wrong ethnic group, and they were basically sold into bounty. And once they were received by the U.S., we simply assumed that they were all as guilty as any one of them. And
they're often mistreated physically. I mean, Alex Gibney did that great film that he won the Academy Award for, Taxi to the Dark Side.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about this poor, hapless, young Afghan taxi driver who gets picked up by mistake, in essence. And, I mean, he didn't do anything, it's clear. And he's beaten to death by U.S. military interrogators.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. John's on the line from Carmel Valley. Welcome, John. You're on with Peter B. and Chris Hedges.
The last thing that Bush or anybody who supports him is going to worry about is what repercussions anything that we're doing either in Afghanistan or Iraq or Guantanamo or any of the other places we've got going is going to have. You don't worry about stuff like that. If they worried about it, they'd never be doing anything like what they're doing. But I want to point out something that still awes me, and when Dennis Kucinich was listing his articles of impeachment, one that should certainly be near the top, and I don't know the order or even how he's got them, but I would put as 6 months of Bush's evangelizing to go to war in Iraq. Almost everything he said in that 6 months leading up to our invasion in 2003 was geared to getting us to do the invasion. And I don't know anything else like it in our history. And somebody ought to write a book contrasting that with Woodrow Wilson's attempt to get us into the league and how it caused him to have a stroke. And in the end, thanks to Henry Cabot Lodge, William Borah, and a bunch of other Republicans, we never entered the league. So his attempt to bring peace to a war-ravaged world failed, and Bush has gotten away with taking us into war into two places, because I think Afghanistan was as big a is turning out to be as big a failure.
Well, the Taliban busted some guys out of jail, and now they are generally in control of the area near Kandahar.
Well, it was immoral in the first place. One of the things Bernie Ward pointed out on KGO right at the time was, why would we even think from a moral perspective of invading a nation that had just gone through years of suffering at the hands of the Soviets, and apparently they lost over 1 million people in that campaign? That didn't enter our thinking at all. It did not matter.
Let me stop you there for a comment from Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, this is foreign occupations. I mean, in Seven Pillars of Wisdom, Lawrence calls it the algebra of occupation. I mean, you just in the long run can't win. It's what the French experienced in Algeria. It's what the Israelis, experienced in the territories. It's what we experienced in Iran. I mean, or go back to occupation of the Philippines, or in the long run, you just are worn down in a war of attrition.
Chris, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us at the last minute. We'll invite you back to talk more about your new book, Collateral Damage, co-authored with Laila Al-Arian.
Okay, Peter, thanks.
Chris Hedges, my pleasure. We'll continue in just a moment. Talk about John McCain. He wants to drill off the California coast. He likes those twinkling platforms, just like Reagan did.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Good news, bad news in Iowa.
The good news is the floodwaters are receding in much of the state. The bad news is we are still in a flood fight.
I'm Steve Futterman in San Francisco, the first full day of same-sex marriage.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. David Miller heads Iowa's Emergency Management Agency.
I had the opportunity yesterday to fly much of the state and see the levels of devastation. They are widespread. This recovery process will take some considerable time.
While many rivers and streams are receding, the mighty Mississippi between Iowa and Illinois continues to rise. The pumps are running constantly in Burlington, Iowa, where CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bauer says people are keeping their fingers crossed.
The town here has got a number of buildings underwater, but there are buildings that are like outdoor recreational buildings and their auditorium. They've got a lot of sandbags here. They say the water is supposed to crest tonight around 26 feet. It's a little above 25 now, and they feel certain that the sandbags are going to hold.
In Grafton, Illinois, businessman John Reed is trying to take things in stride.
Renting a storage place, moving everything, you know, it's kind of been a hassle. But other than that, I mean, when you live in the floodplain, it's just something you have to deal with.
As the floodwaters rise, the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund has been drained.
It is out of money.
Jeffrey Towers is head of fundraising.
We've spent to date nearly $6 million on this particular disaster. We've raised just over $3 million. We anticipate a minimum $15 million in response.
Until that money comes in, they're borrowing to meet expenses. Now this.
Summertime always reminds me of my childhood. Running through the grass, Mom making iced tea in the kitchen. I wanted to capture that kind of happiness for my own family. So this summer, we moved into a new Pulte Homes neighborhood. Now we have someplace special to create all those summer memories. June 20th to the 22nd, save on the home of your dreams during Pulte Homes Summer Savings Days. Visit PulteHomes.com/summer. It's the smartest move you'll ever make.
An equal housing opportunity.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
Hundreds of couples got married in California on this first full day of legal same-sex marriage.
I now pronounce you married.
Here in San Francisco, there was a bit of a festival flavor. Outside City Hall, the gay men's chorus sang.
How about love?
Inside City Hall, there was chamber music. And everywhere, there were gay and lesbian couples exchanging vows.
Do you, Paul, take Brad to be your lawful wedded spouse?
This is the man I love, and now he's my husband.
I love this woman so much!
Mayor Gavin Newsom called it a day to celebrate freedom.
It's about
giving people equal rights and equal opportunity.
But opponents say they will continue their fight to stop same-sex marriages. Steve Futterman, CBS News, San Francisco.
Crude oil fell for the third straight trading session, settling in New York at $134 a barrel. A Senate hearing today looked into reports that these prices are not simply a matter of supply and demand. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
Senators were told the agency overseeing commodity markets is looking into speculation in the oil market and needs more money and staff to keep a closer watch. Walter Lucan of the Commodities Future Trading Commission was asked if he can be sure oil markets aren't being manipulated.
No, I can't. But we are looking for it, and we're policing it aggressively if we find it.
With oil prices going up at alarming rates, Mark Cooper of the Consumer Federation of America has no doubts. He told senators speculators are out of control and driving up prices, and they need tough new regulations. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Dancer and actress Sid Charisse has died in Los Angeles at 86. In the heyday of Hollywood's movie musical, she was a major star, dancing with Gene Kelly in Singin' in the Rain and with Fred Astaire in Silk Stockings. Leonard Maltin of Entertainment Tonight says she was best known for a great pair of legs.
She was an exceptionally beautiful woman with a beautiful body. Her legs were mentioned more often than not in anybody's review or assessment of her work, and you couldn't not talk about them. They were spectacular.
In 1952, Sid Charisse's legs were insured for $5 million. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm going to say eight words you won't believe. Buying a used car should not be painful. Now, here are four words that prove it. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Pilot-certified used Honda models. Made you a believer, didn't I? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda-certified used cars.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, 7 minutes into the hour. And later on, Jason Leopold will join me, the investigative reporter who started a new website called thepublicrecord.org. It's pubrecord.org on the web. And Jason wrote a story already about today's hearings before the Senate Armed Services Committee featuring the torture team, including Jim Haynes, who we talked about at length in the preceding hour. So we'll get those details coming up shortly. But first, we want to find out the latest from the McCain campaign. John McCain gave a speech just yesterday where he advocates offshore drilling in states like California. And as you know, that issue has a very contentious history because there was a big oil spill off Santa Barbara some 25, 30 years ago. And it brought the curtain down on any expansion of offshore drilling along the California coast. And the current agreement, I believe, continues through 2012. But that could be changed. Let's get some expert commentary on this. Daniel J. Weiss is a senior fellow and the director of climate strategy at the Center for American Progress in Washington. He worked for 16 years at the Sierra Club and was chief strategist and lobbyist for legislative campaigns around the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, when those bill names actually, you know, meant what they said. Dan Weiss, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Nice to talk with you.
And I think it'd be interesting to set this up because Robert Greenwald and the team at Brave New Films have put together a new short video. This is under 2 minutes, which details some of the issues and some of the conflicts that the straight talker has when he takes on energy policy and, in particular, the interests of big oil in this country. Let's listen to the audio track here.
Gasoline prices lately, then you know they are close to an all-time record.
AAA now says gasoline prices have hit new highs for 21 consecutive days.
You would not require the oil industry to use its profits to help pursue alternative energy.
I would not require them to.
Question on the screen, why won't McCain require oil companies to pursue alternative energy?
Gas prices are spiking. The national average is now $2.66.
As gas prices continue to inch past the $3 mark, the national average for regular is just pennies away from a record high set following Hurricane Katrina.
Wayne Berman lobbied for Texaco. Eric Burgesson lobbied for BP. Frank Donatelli lobbied for Exxon. Rebecca Anderson lobbied for Sunoco. Charlie Black for Occidental. Nancy Fotenauer, Randy Schumann.
Gas prices have climbed to another all-time high, just below $4 a gallon nationally.
In 2008, McCain has taken almost $500,000 in contributions from big oil.
Corners of the country.
This is ridiculous.
You would not require the oil industry to use its profits to help pursue alternative energy.
I would not require them to.
$1 million in contributions from the oil and gas industry over the years. And you can see the video for yourself at therealmccain.com/oil. That's therealmccain.com/oil. Now, Daniel J. Weiss, one of the things that we've been hearing from McCain is that he thinks drilling offshore is an alternative energy proposal. Isn't that a new twist on the terminology?
Yes, Senator McCain has flip-flopped his position. He used to be in favor of the moratorium that protected California and Oregon's coast, but now he's against it and would allow drilling off those coasts. Unfortunately, it would take anywhere from at least 5 to as many as 10 years to bring any oil up at all from those areas. So it'll make almost zero difference in the impact on prices until McCain was into his second term. Mm-hmm. He'd be in his 80s by the time this produced any oil at all.
Now, as I recall, John McCain is one of the few Republicans who is opposed to drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Does that position hold?
Well, he says it is for now, but you have to remember the last time there was a big Arctic vote in the U.S. Senate in December of 2005, he voted to drill. Senator McCain has been an inconsistent leader, and since he started running for president, he has sided with the oil companies and against average working Americans. For example, last December there was a big vote in the U.S. Senate that would have shifted tax breaks from big oil companies to invest in clean energy and efficiency, and although he missed the vote, he said he would have voted with big oil. Now, since he started running for president in 2007, he's received over $700,000 in big oil money, and he was talking to big oil executives today. Now, is that a coincidence or not? You can do the math.
Mm-hmm. And we're aware of the array of lobbyists who surround John McCain. And he did a little cleanup. Some of the most egregious lobbyists have been booted off the bus. Some of them were thrown under the bus. But I do want to recommend to people that they take a look at the online chart at MediaMattersAction.org, which is related to the book that David Brock and Paul Waldman have published about John McCain in the press called Free Ride. And if you take a look there, you will see, you may have noticed that the film was going pretty fast there, and I couldn't cite all of the oil company connections that some of these lobbyists have. But if you go to that website and take your time, every time you roll your mouse over one of these individuals' names, it lists the lobby groups that they've worked for and often the clients of those lobbying groups. So, Dan Weiss, what, in your view, are some of the most noteworthy connections that McCain, his coterie of lobbyists, have with the oil and gas industries?
Well, probably there's no greater connection than his top strategist, Charlie Black, who not only used to lobby for Occidental Petroleum, but I believe also lobbied for the country of Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. And he is still on the campaign, isn't he?
Yes, he is, because he left his lobbying practice a year ago March.
Yeah, he went through that revolving door, and we know that it'll be open for him. As...
Right. Unfortunately, the revolving door leads to a bank where they take taxpayers' money and give it to oil companies.
Mm-hmm. Now, according to some materials I have here, Charlie Black is also a registered lobbyist for the Russian oil company Yukos.
Yes, that's right. In fact, it's been, and one of the things that's caused our high oil prices has been the decline of production from countries like Russia, where they have a rather aging oil production infrastructure. So that's helped lead to these high oil prices. But, of course, there's many other factors as well. A weak dollar, poor oversight over speculators. John McCain just missed a vote on that last week. It would have reined in speculators gone wild, as well as, ongoing demand from China, India, and elsewhere.
John Green, also a member of the McCain campaign and a lobbyist from Ogilvy Government Relations, has made over $7.5 million since 1999 lobbying for Amerada Hess, Chevron Texaco, the American Petroleum Institute, and others. So there's just another clear connection. And we briefly referenced Frank Donatelli, and he has lobbied for ExxonMobil, Eastman Chemical. And then there's this woman, Nancy Fotenauer. She pops up quite often, Dan, on television as a foreign policy advisor for Senator McCain. And she's a pretty good little attack dog. She likes to go after Obama, really, at the drop of a verb. What is her connection to Cook Industries?
Well, Cook Industries is one of the nation's largest oil companies, and they have also funded a large number of right-wing organizations, and also in the early, in 2000, I believe, funded some independent attack groups that went after Vice President Gore. You know, it sounds to me like the McCain campaign is the oil industry lobby, like Genco Oil was to the Corleone family. That is, it's the place where everybody, it was the public face of the big oil lobbying industry.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress. Now, Dan, one of the other things that strikes me as odd is that McCain is still talking about a summer gas tax holiday. Now, it's clear there is no support for that in his own United States Senate, and Hillary Clinton gambled on that by mimicking McCain, and it appears that she didn't get any bump in Pennsylvania or Indiana or some of the other states where I feel she was pandering on that issue.
Well, it's interesting that even that noted environmentalist and energy saver, Vice President Cheney, has opposed the gas tax holiday. The gas tax holiday would be little more than another way to shovel American dollars into the pockets of big oil. There's no guarantee if you took away the gas tax that the oil companies would pass along the savings to customers. Even if they did, if customers started to drive more and the demand for gasoline increased and the price went up, who would get that extra money? The oil companies. In addition, it would blow about an $11 billion hole into our deficit, which is already over $300 billion for this year. So it's a lose-lose-lose proposition. Senator Obama definitely demonstrated political courage by opposing it. It turns out that so do most Americans.
Yeah, and somebody hasn't gotten the word to McCain. We're going to take a break and return and share some comments from John Kerry about his friend John McCain. And now he's cozying up to the oil companies. We'll take a break and return. You got a question or comment? Bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5 Peter B. Extra points if you're in line at a gas station. 888-573-8372. You got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. A lot going on right now. We'll start you off in Carmel, northbound 1 at Ribeiro Road. Two-car crash with minor injuries. That's off to the right-hand shoulder. From Monterey, heads up west 68 before Highway 1, a chair. That's reported in one of the lanes. In Hollister, eastbound 156 before Fairview Road, a grass fire. That's burning in the area. Fire department on the scene. They should be taking care of that. Now for San Benito County, a lot of heavy traffic. South 101 near Rocks Road, the left lane blocked by fire department. They're taking care of a grass fire in the center divide. We had an earlier grass fire in the same spot on the northbound side, so you may still be seeing slow traffic all the way from San Miguel Canyon Road in Prunedale. This is brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver age-adjusted multivitamins help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Fresh from the arms of Pastor Hagee and Pastor Parsley, John McCain now cozying up to the oil extractors in this country. Little embarrassment in Texas yesterday. They had to postpone a fundraiser when it was revealed that the host of it had made some really tasteless remarks when he challenged Ann Richards for governor of Texas back in the 1990s. And we're talking with Daniel J. Weiss, senior fellow, director of climate strategy at the Center for American Progress. You don't expect that fundraiser in Texas will actually be canceled, do you, Dan?
No, in fact, I believe they already have $300,000 worth of commitments from the people who would have been at Clayton Williams' home as a fundraiser for Senator McCain, and they were asked whether or not they will keep the money, and the answer was yes.
No, they probably cashed the checks already. Now, this is an interesting piece, and you can read it for yourself at HuffingtonPost.com. John Kerry, the senator from Massachusetts, Democratic standard bearer from 04, and a man who professes to be John McCain's friend, points out that John McCain is not the same guy that he knew. He said, in Houston today, candidate McCain will tell people that he used to call special interests, that just because two oil men are leaving the White House doesn't mean the gravy train has to end. And Kerry goes on to say that McCain has flip-flopped on cap and trade. This, of course, is one of the ways to address climate change issues. And he quotes McCain just yesterday saying, "I believe in the cap and trade system, as you know. I would not at this time make those impose a mandatory cap at this time." And John Kerry points out that McCain's own campaign proposal includes a mandatory cap. So this McCain is, well, he's slippery, would you say, Dan?
I think in the case of the global warming program, he may not understand his own proposal. To say that it's a cap-and-trade program is not mandatory means, in effect, it's a meaningless program. In fact, the bill that he introduced with Senator Lieberman 5 years ago was a mandatory program. Unfortunately, it has been now outdated. The reductions that it would have required are not adequate to protect this country's environment or economy. So he did have a mandatory program, and that's what he's introduced in the past, and that's the program he talked about just a month ago in Oregon in a speech. So,
Well, and Governor Schwarzenegger today issued a statement saying that while he does support John McCain, that they do occasionally disagree, and on offshore drilling and cap and trade, there does appear to be some daylight between McCain and Schwarzenegger.
What's more unfortunate is that Senator McCain disagrees with presidential candidate McCain, because Senator McCain supported protecting California and Oregon's coast from offshore oil drilling. Presidential candidate McCain, who is $700,000 richer with big oil money, now favors it.
Dan Weiss is with us from the Center for American Progress. We're talking to Dave now in Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Dan, I got a hot one for you here, and I hope you'll ponder it with me. Do you hear me all right?
Sure.
Right. I believe John McCain has become very much aware that elections nowadays in the United States are no longer honest. They are totally rigged, and they're rigged by the neocons behind those who now occupy our White House and our government, that they are able to invade the equipment, push buttons, flip results, and produce what they want. And that's how we got what we've got now, and that's how they plan to put McCain in there. And so, believing that, I think McCain finds himself in an interesting bind. What are his choices right now? That's something to ponder. If I'm accurate, if the elections are as rigged as I believe they are, what can he do? He's got to play ball with them.
Well, I don't believe that the elections are rigged in the way that you suggest. Otherwise, the Senate and the House would not have gone Democratic in 2006. But the system is rigged to favor those with the most money, and usually that's the Republicans who get all the money from big oil and others. But fortunately, Senator Obama's campaign has gotten a lot of money from individuals, and so that's upset the way that things are usually done here.
Dave, thank you for your call and your comment. Now, Dan, since you mentioned Senator Obama, we don't give anybody a free pass here. And I was troubled to hear comments from him in the last 48 hours talking about clean coal, which I think is a marketing proposition, not a concept that is anywhere near development. And he also talked about making nuclear energy safe. And he's received a lot of contributions from Exelon, the largest nuclear power plant operator in the country. They're in his home state. Are you troubled by those comments from the senator?
I don't believe that clean coal is anything more than a marketing strategy. At the same time, we do support the idea of research and development into what's called carbon capture and storage technology, because that's our best hope for reducing reducing our emissions from coal-fired power plants. You know, half of our electricity is from coal in this country, and it's highly unlikely that we're going to be able to quickly rid ourselves of coal-fired power. And so in the meantime, we need to develop this technology. Now, the way that the coal industry has used the technology is as sort of as a shield to protect them from having to do anything to reduce their emissions. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, he's really using in code words that mean something to those from coal country that is bad for everyone. Mm-hmm. But it is important to note that we're going to have to do more research on the...
I'm out of time. That's Dan Wise from the Center for American Progress. Thanks, Dan.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Wear a flower in your hair, America.
We're going to have the greatest summer of love that we've ever had in California.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. All over California, gay couples are getting marriage licenses.
The doors are open now. The floodgates are open.
Lawyer Gloria Allred in Beverly Hills at the wedding of Robin Tyler and Diane Olson, one of the couples who brought their case all the way to the California Supreme Court and won.
And through this sacred rite of marriage, we affirm the desire of Diane and Robin to become beloved partners and life companions.
The only question now is, what will God do?
To me, it is a total way of going against God's word.
Pastor Ken Hutcherson is among those pastors who have long warned about the divine consequences of gay marriage. Maybe it's not what God will do, but what he won't do.
When we make a mockery of marriage and we make a mockery of family, I think that there's an opportunity to see God not bless this nation the way he can.
And what would that mean if God withholds his blessing? Well, there were pastors who told us that's how New Orleans happened.
Hurricane Katrina was, in fact, the judgment of God.
So could we be seeing something similar now? Could this be the sign?
Thousands of citizens are still trying to get back into their flood-ravaged neighborhoods today.
I wish I knew. But I guess it depends on which God we're talking about. This God?
They're talking like 32 and a half feet crest, and I think flood stage is like 20.
Or this God.
Praised are you, Eternal One, who sanctifies the people Israel at this ceremony of marriage of Kiddushin. Amen.
Now this.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval, providing immediate government compliance. Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Stone walls are crumbling. Deniability is unraveling. And like the Three Stooges, fingers are being pointed always in the other direction. Yes, the heat of investigation is finally producing quite a bit of information out of Washington, D.C. Jason Leopold is all over it. He's an investigative reporter, worked for Dow Jones, the L.A. Times, formerly with truthout.org, and now publishes on his own site, The Public Record, at pubrecord.org. Jason, how are you?
Good to be with you again, Peter. I hope you had a good vacation.
It was nice to be away, and it's good to be back. And, boy, there is so much going on.
A lot of things happening while you were away. A lot of activity.
Kucinich dropped the articles of impeachment. And by the way, for our listeners, tomorrow at this time, actually between 4 and 5 o'clock Pacific time, David Swanson, one of the activists who's been driving the push for impeachment from the beginning, will be with us. And for legal counsel, we will turn to Betsy De La Vega, Elizabeth De La Vega, who has been published by Jason's website and elsewhere. And she has written a series of comments about the Kucinich articles of impeachment. So we're going to have an in-depth discussion about that for an hour tomorrow at 4 Pacific time. But Jason, just to set the stage for you, we had scheduled at the beginning of today's show to talk with Philippe Sands, the British lawyer and journalist who wrote the book about Rumsfeld's torture memo.
Groundbreaking book.
It's excellent, and it really features all the characters who were either testifying or testified about at the Senate Armed Services Committee today. And unfortunately, because Mr. Sands is in London, it's late night there. We rang his home, but there was no answer. And so we didn't get to talk to him, our best laid plans.
Yeah.
But I do want to recommend the book to people because it really proves very clearly, and Sands is a careful legal mind who writes without hyperbole, but he just doggedly tracked down, as you would, Jason, all of the documents and the individuals who were responsible for them, and it shows quite clearly what the report at the Armed Services Committee, we've got the initial version out, and you can tell us a little bit more about that in a moment.
Sure.
But also the Washington Post coverage of the last day or two. What it all indicates is that this was not a bottom-up effort, even though it was constructed that way for plausible deniability.
Exactly.
Rumsfeld instructed people at Guantanamo to send him memos saying, can we please torture these bastards?
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, well, if you really want to, I'm going to permit it.
Right.
And that cover is blowing off big time.
Big time is quite an understatement, especially after the theatrics and the explosive details that surfaced during the hearing today. You know, let me just start off by saying that this hearing comes about 10 days after John Conyers and 55 other House Democrats sent a letter to Attorney General Michael Mukasey requesting the appointment of a special counsel to investigate the Bush administration, in particular, President Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, for war crimes. And, you know, if this were simply just a, you know, the first insight, the first details that we were to receive today just from the hearing, I don't think it would leave any doubt that, in fact, what was taking place was torture. That, in fact, you know, let me just quote Alberto Mora, who is the Navy counsel, general counsel, who was part of this working group that Rumsfeld put together or asked his deputy in the Pentagon, William Haynes, to put together, and you know, just to find out what types of interrogation techniques they could use. And basically, Alberto Mora was somebody who spoke out, who wrote a 15-page letter because he dissented. He was just outraged. And I thought he made a very good comment today by saying, let's not call this, you know, let's stop calling this enhanced interrogation, harsh tactics, and call it what it is. It's torture. And he said that it actually does a disservice, and it's misleading to call it anything else. It's cruel. It's a quote, a policy of cruelty.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see how they, you know, could escape from war crimes on this. I mean, this is truly unbelievable, particularly because the public statements that Donald Rumsfeld, that Vice President Cheney, that, you know, from the top down have made publicly regarding, you know, what happened. They said, well, you know, we got this call from folks at Guantanamo. You know, they weren't able to get information. They actually, Rumsfeld and William Haynes, the Pentagon, former Pentagon chief counsel, in July of 2002 sought guidance from military psychologists to use, you know, for specific techniques. Basically, what they called it at the hearing today was this so-called, like, reverse engineering, mm-hmm. techniques that would be used on U.S. soldiers if they were captured,
right.
that they go through training to resist these types of techniques.
And the acronym is SERE for
yeah.
Survival, Evasion, Rescue, and Escape.
Right, exactly. Thanks. And they talked about Rumsfeld and Haynes reversing that and using it against detainees at Guantanamo. Mm-hmm. Now, the important thing to keep in mind here is that they approached these folks in July of 2002. Now, that was 1 month, about 3 weeks to a month, before John Yoo, the former deputy attorney general in the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department, drafted two memos that, you know, basically gave these folks the legal cover to employ these tactics.
But what's really interesting, Jason, in the Philippe Sands book
yeah.
is he shows the compartmentalization.
Right.
And Jay Bybee's original memo about torture, the one that has remained classified, was not shared with the decision makers at the Pentagon. And so Jim Haynes, the chief counsel there,
right.
may have seen it. But the military counsel who he bypassed, the Army, Navy, Air Force, JAGS,
right.
who ordinarily would have been very much a part of this review process, they were elbowed out of it and kept out of that loop. And even a year and a half later, after Abu Ghraib, we have people like General Myers and others mm-hmm. saying, I had no knowledge of the Justice Department memos. All we had was this stuff that allegedly percolated up
right.
inside the Defense Department.
Well, you know, in today's hearing, I would have to say that you know, General Myers was discussed in that he did have prior knowledge, and that was brought up. And some of the folks that testified, some of the officials, former officials who testified, stated unequivocally that Myers had previous knowledge, that Haynes tried to shut down the investigation into the review process, if you will, into this. And by the way, probably not a big surprise here, but Haynes, who has retained a legal criminal attorney,
right. Now works for Chevron.
He now works for Chevron. But he had a bout of Alberto Gonzalez-ism, if you will, and dozens of times. I can't even... I lost count after, I think, 40.
Really?
I can't recall. I don't remember over and over again. He basically said that he couldn't recall seeing anything. He couldn't recall, you know, any dissent. He couldn't recall any reservations that people that the judge advocate generals had. What's really troublesome from this, Peter, is that, you know, you watch this, and just as someone who, you know, cares about the fact that they're putting these troops in, our troops, in harm's way by employing these methods, you wonder what's going to come out of all this. And, you know, since you discussed the impeachment earlier, you know, the fact is that we've had so many hearings. We've had, you know, just 2 weeks ago, there was a Senate intelligence report that said Bush and Cheney knowingly lied about pre-war intelligence. So what is going to happen at this point? I mean, if it's simply going to be this sort of political posturing where, you know, we have these hearings but yet don't hold anyone accountable, I'm not sure what the point is. Certainly, in terms of the historical record, it may be, you know, important. I think that the impeachment articles that Kucinich introduced is quite important just to sort of set the record straight. But, you know, there has to be some sort of, accountability. And, you know, I believe that just reading up on what the war crime statute anti-torture law says, these guys would be, you know, could at least be indicted, if that's the right way to put it, to phrase it, because it's the evidence that this committee has obtained, the more than 38,000 pages, is remarkable.
Jason, it points up how timely a case is that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear,
right,
which is related to whether Ashcroft, the former attorney general, and Mueller, currently and was the FBI director,
right,
can be held responsible for the way non-citizens were mistreated after 9/11.
Right.
And they're arguing that they have immunity from their official acts. And this will be pivotal in terms of any war crimes or other prosecutions,
yeah,
against the architects of the torture policy.
You know, in today's hearing, by the way, you know, one of the things that came up was, prior having immunity, making sure that before they did anything, that any of the interrogators did anything, that there was immunity. One of the most disturbing things that was revealed, though, was the CIA's counterterrorism attorney. I wasn't aware that there was such a title, but there was a meeting that took place in October 2002 between the Guantanamo, the chief counsel at Guantanamo, some other military legal counsel, and the CIA, and they started talking about what was referred to as, quote, the wet towel technique. And the wet towel technique, as it was explained, was basically waterboarding. And someone in this meeting had brought up, isn't that illegal? And the person's name from the CIA, his name is Jonathan Friedman, and it's spelled F-R-E-D-M-A-N. And Levin's committee released some copies of minutes of this meeting. And he said, well, it's a matter of perception whether or not it's torture. It would only be it would be torture if the detainee dies. And in addition to that, he said, and if he does die, you're doing it wrong. I was just blown away. Mm-hmm. I could not believe.
Yeah. Well,
that is what was said. And it's just, I mean, when you read something like that, when you just hear that that's what the discussion is, I mean, what would anyone take away from it?
Mm-hmm. The other thing that is clear, Jason, is that over a period of time, we know that Rumsfeld initially verbally authorized this around Thanksgiving of 2002, then signed a memo December 2nd of 2002, and then in mid-January,
right,
they pulled back. They were exposed. Some of these military JAGs complained. And
right,
so then they submitted it to a review process and allegedly stopped conducting these kinds of interrogations against Al-Qahtani and others. But we know from the attorneys and from people who have ultimately been freed from Gitmo,
right,
that these actions, or at least variations of the techniques, continued for well over a year afterward. So we really need to drill to the bottom of this,
yeah,
and we need to go beyond exposure and outrage. Your point from a moment ago bears repeating.
Right.
What's going to happen to these people?
Yeah.
They intentionally broke the law,
yeah,
and they knew what they were doing, and they tried to paper over it. And we cannot simply limit it to, oh, well, now we know what they did, and just move on from there.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I have to say that with the release of that Senate Intelligence Committee report, pre-war Iraq intelligence, with the today's hearing, the various things that have come out of the past couple of weeks, I have to say that I believe that this makes the Democrats look horrible. And I will single out Nancy Pelosi and others like her if they were simply to not, if they simply dismissed this and just said, yeah, let's just continue having the hearings. This is, these are real crimes, you know, and again, Alberto Mora said, this is a policy of cruelty, and basically said it's torture. Mm-hmm. You know, last week, by the way, which actually didn't get much coverage, was before the Senate Judiciary Committee, was the hearing Glenn Fine, the Department of Justice Inspector General.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke at length about actually what you just said, Peter, which was these interrogation tactics took place after that working review group was put together.
And he reported on behalf of the FBI agents, many of whom did blow the whistle.
Exactly.
Not loud enough or publicly enough, but they
none
did
of them
do.
Did.
We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. If you have a comment or a question, call us now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. A lot going on right now. We'll start you off in Carmel, northbound 1 at Ribeiro Road. Two-car crash with minor injuries. That's off to the right-hand shoulder. From Monterey, heads up west 68 before Highway 1, a chair. That's reported in one of the lanes. In Hollister, eastbound 156 before Fairview Road, a grass fire. That's burning in the area. Fire department on the scene. They should be taking care of that. Now for San Benito County, a lot of heavy traffic. South 101 near Rocks Road, the left lane blocked by fire department. They're taking care of a grass fire in the center divide. We had an earlier grass fire in the same spot on the northbound side, so you may still be seeing slow traffic all the way from San Miguel Canyon Road in Prunedale. This is brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver age-adjusted multivitamins help protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade fraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart at Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
We'll be right back.
Senator. I don't think I saw that memo, Senator. We continue our conversation with Jason Leopold, investigative reporter. Read his work at the new website, pubrecord.org. That's the public record, pubrecord.org. And, Jason, just one more thing about the torture policy.
Sure.
One of the things that I'd like to see in terms of accountability is an effort to impeach Jay Bybee. He's got a lifetime appointment to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals here in San Francisco, and I believe that he won that confirmation under false pretenses.
Yeah. By the way, William Jim Haynes was very close to getting a federal judgeship himself.
On the Fourth Circuit, the D.C. Circuit, that's a very critical court of review.
By the way, just speaking also about the thing on the torture topic, John Yoo, who's also up in your area over at Berkeley,
right?
He has, and it's just remarkable, he has an op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal attacking the Supreme Court for basically restoring habeas corpus.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is an attorney. I mean, this is legal counsel. He teaches, constitutional law at what I would think is a liberal institution.
Bolt Hall,
and,
yeah.
What he said in this op-ed is just unbelievable. It's truly beyond authoritarian.
If you have that available and you'd like to forward it to me, I don't generally read the journal, so I'd be interested in seeing that.
Oh, did I actually say I read the journal on the air? Uh-oh.
Now, Jason, one of your other stories, you've been very busy, that you published just Monday, is about Henry Waxman's efforts to get Patrick Fitzgerald's investigative materials, in particular his interview with Bush and Cheney, and this is now even more relevant because of what Scott McClellan has told us.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely, it's pretty stunning, I would say, because, what McClellan says in his book actually does add quite a bit to the public record. He says that when Bush was speaking in October about, this is a big administration, it's full of leakers, and of course I want to find out who was involved. He had already, taken part in an effort to attack Joe Wilson by declassifying parts of the National Intelligence Estimate, having that leaked to reporters, and was advised by Cheney and others as what was happening behind the scenes. And so, Waxman already has, I should add, the transcripts of Karl Rove, his grand jury testimony, previously unavailable testimony, grand jury testimony from Scooter Libby. And, in 2004, Cheney, who had an attorney, his name was Terrence O'Donnell, President Bush had a criminal attorney, Jim Sharp. They were interviewed. They were asked specific questions about, Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame. We just don't know what those responses are. And I have to say that, I think that the public, I certainly think the Wilsons, deserve to hear from Patrick Fitzgerald. John Dean, excuse me, the, former Nixon, counsel, he had a pretty, good column in FindLaw, over the weekend, and he said that he doesn't think, Fitzgerald may have been aggressive enough because of all the evidence that has surfaced so far. This guy, Fitzgerald, investigated for, more than 3 years. And what happened? We're starting to see some more details that took place behind the scenes from somebody like Scott McClellan. It certainly calls into question, what happened? And was he actually going, beyond Scooter Libby?
Mm-hmm.
But McClellan is testifying on Friday, assuming that there isn't a last-minute executive privilege that will be asserted by the White House. And I think it's going to be quite explosive.
Well, it's almost a daily flow of critical information and finger pointing. So this is going to be a very interesting summer. And again, I'm in favor of disclosure, and I don't mind a little chest thumping by the Democrats. But we need to keep the pressure on them to carry this all the way through.
Yeah, and that's what Kennedy is doing. You have to, for what he is taking on at this time, he's up for re-election. You have to give him credit.
Sure do. Jason Leopold, pubrecord.org. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Peter.
Coming up next, Melanie Sloan from Crew and your calls in the Free Speech Zone.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. One by one, they're filling sandbags and piling them higher along the Mississippi River. At Burlington, Iowa, the river's expected to crest tonight at 26 feet. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers says they expect the levees to hold, but there's concern across the region about the long-term effects of pollution.
People all across the river going out and testing water to see exactly how much chemical, how much fuel, how much human waste, animal waste is in this water, and just how safe it is. They say that they can clean it to drink. They're not worried about a huge environmental disaster, but do say that it could impact hunting and fishing in states like Iowa for a while to come.
Millions of acres of crops have been destroyed, and that's pushing food prices higher for all of us. With gasoline over $4 a gallon, President Bush will ask Congress tomorrow to lift the ban on offshore drilling. The White House says it can be done in a safe, environmentally friendly way. John McCain says we have a dangerous dependence on foreign oil. He wants to lift the ban on oil and natural gas exploration, but he also says we have to use less energy.
In the face of climate change and other serious challenges, energy conservation is no longer just a moral luxury or a personal virtue. Conservation serves a critical national goal.
Barack Obama spoke to college students in Michigan.
When I'm president, I will make college affordable for every American.
He's proposing a $4,000 tax credit in exchange for 100 hours of community service. San Francisco's Gay Men's Chorus serenaded some same-sex couples as they took out marriage licenses or exchanged vows. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was there.
Here inside City Hall today, just a steady stream of same-sex couples showing up, taking out marriage licenses, and then exchanging marriage vows. Occasionally, every few minutes, you'll hear a huge cheer go up as another gay or lesbian couple has officially become married. Really, for the gay and lesbian population here in San Francisco, this is a day of celebration.
It's the first full day of legal gay marriage in California. The new SAT, the Scholastic Aptitude Test, has been in use for 3 years now, but the College Board reports only so-so results. Research indicates it's not much better than the old SAT at predicting how students will do in their freshman year of college. The new test includes an essay and can take nearly 4 hours. Critics say the results don't justify the extra time. President Bush and his wife Laura were among those paying respects today at the wake for Meet the Press host Tim Russert. Hundreds filed past his casket at a private boys' school in Washington. Russert's funeral will be held tomorrow. On Wall Street, the Dow 108 points lower, closing at 12,160. The Nasdaq down 17 points to 2457. This is CBS News.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. To receive MSN direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Ah, nature. The trees, the flowers. The dust, the pollen. The ragweed swaying in a gentle breeze. Well, if the great outdoors isn't great for your eyes, make sure you get Clear Eyes Itchy Eye Relief. It clears up itchy, red, and watery eyes so that you can admire all of nature's wonder. Want Clear Eyes? Get Clear Eyes brand Itchy Eye Relief. Use as directed.
Diabetes can be depressing, but a new study finds it might also be the other way around. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
It's not surprising diabetic Rosalind Terborg-Penn gets depressed monitoring her blood sugar levels and giving herself insulin.
Sometimes I'm overwhelmed to the point where I just have to go to bed.
It might surprise you, depression can cause diabetes. In a study led by Johns Hopkins researcher Sherita Golden, depressed people had a 42% increased risk. One possible reason?
People who had depression were more likely to overeat and were less physically active.
This study in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
At most companies, executives get the best parking spots, but at the offices of RexCorp Realty in New York, the spots closest to the front door are reserved for hybrid vehicles only. It's part of the company's green initiative, and a spokesman says they're looking to add hybrid-only parking at the properties they manage. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Summertime always reminds me of my childhood. Running through the grass, Mom making iced tea in the kitchen. I wanted to capture that kind of happiness for my own family. So this summer, we moved into a new Pulte Homes neighborhood. Now we have someplace special to create all those summer memories. June 20th to the 22nd, save on the home of your dreams during Pulte Homes Summer Savings Days. Visit PulteHomes.com/summer. It's the smartest move you'll ever make.
An equal housing opportunity.
Email. Something people and now businesses cannot live without. New federal e-discovery laws require that certain companies retain email communication for litigation purposes or face serious fines.
Lose the risk, not your wallet.
By installing a Barracuda Message Archiver today. The Barracuda Message Archiver is a comprehensive yet affordable plug-and-play device that indexes and stores all email traffic for easy search and retrieval,
providing immediate government compliance.
Try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or log on to Barracuda.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
As we launch into the free speech zone this hour, your calls and comments are welcome toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? 1-888-573-8372. But first, we check in with the former prosecutor who knows the difference between the foyer and a FOIA. Melanie Sloan is Executive Director of CRU. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, Peter.
You're fighting, and some days we get to dance a little bit and celebrate, but there have been some interesting setbacks recently. Notably, David Safavian, who was a Bush administration appointee over there in the department that buys everything.
GSA, right.
Yes,
General Services Administration.
There it is, GSA, General Services Administration. He was convicted a couple of years ago of accepting favors from Jack Abramoff, and the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals has reversed that conviction. Tell us why.
They reversed the conviction, but I will say they also remanded it for a new trial. So things aren't all cheery for David Safavian, although it was a good day. They said that some of the charges against Safavian didn't work out because he was he had voluntarily given information to the GSA ethics officer. When he first wanted to go on a trip with Jack Abramoff, he had asked the ethics officer if that was okay. And he hadn't given the ethics officer the full information, for example, that Jack Abramoff was doing business with the General Services Administration.
Mm-hmm.
And the court today said he can't be charged for that because he didn't give full information to the ethics officer. He wasn't required to give full administration. Full information to the ethics officer. So to say that he lied to that ethics officer and that therefore violated the criminal statute prohibiting lying to federal agents wasn't really fair because he had just omitted information when he had asked for advice and that this was commonplace, really.
Well, but these are pretty serious omissions because he didn't acknowledge, as I recall the case, his ties to Abramoff and that Abramoff was trying to cut a deal to buy some property for a school that he supported.
Right. But here's the problem. And I think that the court, which was unanimous in the three-judge panel, reached this unanimously. You know, people have a Fifth Amendment right against incriminating themselves. And what they said in the court was people have a right to start talking, and then you can't force them to start talking and keep talking. So if they only give you so much information, if they just omit it, that's not concealing information by some kind of trick or deception. That's just stopping talking, and that alone isn't enough.
Are we splitting hairs here?
We may be splitting hairs, but, you know, that's what circuit courts of appeals do. I don't think, as I said, that Safavian is in the clear. I think he will be back before a trial court. And this, by the way, means nothing for all the other people who have been charged with criminal conduct in the Abramoff case. This was very factually specific to David Safavian. But I think Safavian's case is far from over.
All right. And with the remand, pardon me, can he appeal that? Separately from the overturned conviction?
No. Part of his conviction was overturned as a matter of law, and they can't bring the whole case back. But part of the case can come back. The part of the case where he also had argued that he should have been allowed to bring in an expert witness to talk about what it meant to, quote, do business with the government. Because he said when he told officials that that Jack Abramoff wasn't doing business with GSA, although Jack Abramoff was seeking GSA to buy some buildings, there's a quote, question about the definitional issue of what doing business with GSA was. He should have been allowed to bring that in. And the court said, yes, an expert should talk about what it means to do business with GSA. He should have been allowed to bring that in. But that will happen on retrial. So David Safavian will get to make his case again, and he'll get to bring in a new defense witness. But the obstruction of justice case, he'll still be charged again.
And has he been serving time, or was he free on bail?
He was free on bail. In general, with these white-collar offenses, it's rare for someone to be serving time while they are, while their case is on appeal. The rare exception to that rule is Donald Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama. And that case has just recently been thrown out, and he's been let out of jail because it was so unusual.
Yeah. Well, and as long as you mentioned Don Siegelman, he was on our show a couple of weeks ago, very impressed with him. And the New York Times Monday ran an editorial which unequivocally calls for a fair investigation and a new trial for Governor Siegelman. And I just say it's about time. They were a little slow on the draw on that story, but I do appreciate their weighing in with that position yesterday.
Well, it looks like that's going to happen for Mr. Siegelman, too.
Yeah, that's good. Now, also on Monday, a district court in Washington issued an opinion in your case versus the White House Office of Administration, saying that that office is not an agency subject to the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA. That has to be a disappointment to you.
This is a huge disappointment to us. Crew had sent a FOIA request to the Office of Administration about the millions of White House emails that are missing. We had sent this FOIA to find out, to not get the substance of those emails, which we might not be entitled to, but to find all the records of the Office of Administration, which is the White House tech office, about how they had discovered the problem and what their remedy to the problem, what they were proposing the solution was. And we had sent this as a Freedom of Information Act request because the Office of Administration had for at least 20 years previously considered itself an agency subject to the FOIA. On its own website, they had FOIA regulations. Well, we submitted a FOIA request, and they said they'd process it, and then 4 months after they said that, they said, oh, never mind, we didn't mean that. We're not really an agency subject to the FOIA. And so for the past year, we've been litigating the issue of whether they were really an agency. And yesterday, very disappointingly, a judge said that, no, they are not an agency subject to the FOIA. So even when they said that they would originally process our request, that was an error because they weren't really an agency and they didn't have to. So we're now going to appeal that, and we're going to ask the Court of Appeals to hear that on an expedited basis, meaning we're going to ask them to hear it more quickly than usual because the Bush administration is winding down. And if, in fact, the Office of Administration is not subject to the FOIA, that means all their records are presidential records. They will be sent over to the archives at the end of this administration and then basically be put off limits for the next 12 years. Because that's what happens to presidential records. So we're going to ask that that not happen in this case. So it's hard to know how that'll come down.
Yeah. Well, keep plugging there because there's a lot of information that could be ferreted out if we even know who sent an email to whom on what date.
Sure, because remember, these are emails that are missing between 2003 and 2005, some of which are at that critical period of the beginning of the Iraq War and involve the outing of former covert CIA operative Valerie Plame.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And you are managing the civil case for the Wilsons on that, and we certainly wish you the best there. Now, Melanie, one other issue I wanted to get your take on is the VIP loan program that Countrywide, the mortgage company that has now been handed off to the Bank of America, they're in deep financial trouble. They offered sweetheart loans to Senator Chris Dodd, a Democrat from Connecticut, and Kent Conrad, a Democratic senator from North Dakota.
Right, and I have to say, this is not a great story for Mr. Dodd or Mr. Conrad, but much worse for Mr. Conrad, because it turns out Mr. Conrad, when he wanted a loan, he called his friend Jim Johnson at Fannie Mae, who we've already had go through the whole fiasco of being dropped from the Obama vetting committee because of his Countrywide loan. And what does Jim Johnson say? He says, oh, call my friend Angelo Mozzillo, the CEO of Countrywide. And Kent Conrad is the chairman of the budget committee, or then I guess a ranking member of budget, calls Angelo Mozzillo and says, I need a loan. Now, sure, that's what you and I do when we need a loan. We call the CEO of the biggest mortgage lender in the country. And then Senator Conrad wants us all to believe that when he called Angelo Mozzillo, he didn't think he'd get any special treatment, a senator calling a CEO. That's a little hard to buy, I think.
And one of the deals is that Conrad got Countrywide to give a mortgage on an apartment building that he owns that had more units than generally qualify for that Countrywide loan.
That's right. Countrywide generally was only willing to give loans on apartment buildings of 4 units or less. Kent Conrad owned one that was 8 units. He asked Countrywide to give him a mortgage, and there's an email from Angelo Mozzillo saying, well, let's make an exception because he's a senator. So I really can't see how much better you could get, more evidence you could get than that Conrad, Senator Conrad got better treatment. And the reason this is all important is because there is a gift rule in the Senate. And the gift rule says that members of Congress aren't allowed to accept gifts. And loans can be gifts. It specifically says that. And so members of Congress, senators, can't get loans on better terms than are available to the general public. And here it was. Conrad is getting a loan that isn't available to anybody. He's getting it just because he's a senator.
But we can
ask the Senate Ethics Committee to look at this.
Well, that's where I was going to go next. We can rest assured that the Ethics Committee's all over this.
Right. Well, apparently, Senator John Cornyn, the ranking member of the Senate Ethics Committee, said today that, yes, Crewe had filed a complaint, so they'd be looking at it. But, you know, the Senate Ethics Committee has a long history of doing nothing. I think Senator Conrad can be fairly assured he'll be cleared.
And what do you see as the remedy here? Should Dodd and Conrad make some sort of restitution for the deals that they got?
Well, that's what Conrad is trying to do. He's trying to donate $10,700 to Habitat for Humanity, which is the benefit he says he got from the Friends of Angelo program. Chris Dodd just this evening admitted that he knew he was on his VIP list, although he claims he got no actual financial benefit from it. You know, the real issue here is how many other senators and Bush administration officials may be involved. This Friends of Angelo program may have been huge, and we just only heard about Dodd and Conrad. So the first question is who else is involved, and the Senate and House Ethics Committees ought to subpoena all the records from Countrywide regarding the Friends of Angelo program to find out who else is involved. And then maybe they ought to be setting standards for what members of Congress can do when they're trying to apply for a loan.
Yeah. All right, Melanie. Well, thank you very much. Keep working to clean up Washington. It won't happen overnight.
I'll talk to you next week, in fact.
Okay. Melanie Sloan from Crew. Visit their website to get more information. Citizensforethics.org. Spell it all out. Citizensforethics.org. 18 minutes after the hour, the rest of this hour is set aside for your phone calls. It's the Free Speech Zone. Lines are open for you right now. You want to talk about torture? You want to talk about John McCain and the oil companies? Or you want to talk about sweetheart deals in Washington? All up for grabs. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. You can always email me, too. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Salinas. Espinosa Road at 101, two-car crash. CHP on the scene. It's just a fender bender. From Monterey, 68 at York Road. New crash there. Two cars. They're both off to the right-hand shoulder. From Monterey, northbound 1 at 218, a separate crash with three cars. That's all in the center divide. CHP's on the scene. They've got a couple of tow trucks on the way. And bitter news for San Benito County. 101 at Rocks Road. We had grass fires on both sides of the roadway. The fire's out. Everything's open there, but northbound traffic slow from Ralph Lane and Prunedale. Southbound traffic reportedly backed up for several miles. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners through June buy four tires matched to your Toyota by their trained technicians and receive a gas card worth $50. Road hazard coverage included. Visit participating Toyota dealers for details. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour, and no other guests, no other interviews. It's just me and your phone calls. So I want you to light up a line right now and tell me what's on your mind at 888-5-PETER-B. And first and foremost, I'd like to talk about America's torture policy and who will be held responsible.
A revolution never comes for warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Yeah, don't worry about the torture. It's only for the bad guys.
Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Free peace, food, and bank.
Only since we have condoned torture, we is the bad guys. Michael Fronte and Spearhead there. This is a powerful song called Yell Fire. And I ask you to think. I want to honor my dad today. It's been a long time, but 37 years ago today, he passed away, and I miss him. But I value the things he taught me, the skills he gave me, and part of it is why I do this show. He served in World War II, and he took me and my brothers to the Dachau concentration camp. I was 13. I'll never forget that. And I recall the discussion we had leaving there, saying, well, Dad, how could this happen? How could good German citizens permit a death camp in their own backyard? And our current Pope grew up under those circumstances. He was drawn into the Nazi youth and ended up reporting for duty at a nearby concentration camp. And we are witnesses in our own lives to a kind of barbarism that has occurred in the name of keeping Americans safe. And that because that is a, you know, pitched to us as a superior moral position, therefore we can lie and dissemble and say, well, we don't torture, we just use these enhanced interrogation techniques on the worst of the worst. Only we know now that not everybody at Guantanamo Bay is the worst of the worst. Many of them are outright innocent. And as a result of Philippe Sand's book, Torture Memo, as a result of the hearings and the report issued by the Senate Armed Services Committee today, there is no doubt that Donald Rumsfeld, in collusion with Dick Cheney, David Addington, and others, created the torture policy and managed to keep, for the most part, their fingerprints off it. And now the question is, what do we do about it? How do we restore a moral base to America's foreign policy and to the way we deal with terrorists that we can live with and be proud of 20, 30, 50 years from now? That's my question to you. I'd love to hear your answers. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Up first, it's Drew in Monterey. Hi, Drew.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Peter. You know, it's not what I called the comment on. I called the comment about the senators and Countrywide. You know, I hear you talking about these detainees in Guantanamo and how they're innocent, but I haven't heard you say one thing about the Marines who were accused in Haditha who have been exonerated. I mean, you're talking about other people being, you know, given these Marines weren't physically tortured, but they've really been put through the ringer. And these are our soldiers who are completely innocent, and they were accused by another soldier, Jack Murtha, of committing horrendous crimes that are totally untrue.
Well, wait. I reserve comment because I have not really seen the decision in this case. And I'll be happy to comment on it after I have, Drew. But from what I know, this is a whitewash exoneration. This is not a declaration of innocence. And so, again, I'll reserve comment, and I ask you to reserve comment about Jack Murtha. He's a complicated figure, and I don't agree with him on many things. But in this case, his outrage at the behavior of American troops in Iraq is, I believe, warranted. And if he's wrong about
what behavior? What behavior are you talking about? They haven't been proven guilty, and you're talking about it as if it's a fact. So they have been proven guilty before a trial.
Well, I don't have great confidence in the military justice system when cases like this turn out the way they do. So, Drew, I got to run to a break. If you want to talk further, hold on through the break because I don't want to silence you, but I'll be happy to hear more of your comments. 888-5 Peter B., the Free Speech Zone, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With 8 professionals, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't ever cry because she loves me so.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, taking your calls in the free speech zone. I have just one line open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Love to hear your comments on anything in the news that you think other people would be interested in hearing about. 888-573-8372. And, Drew, you still there?
Yeah, I sure am, and it's very generous for you to let me continue our conversation here.
Well, Drew, I just wanted to amend the conversation a little bit because during our day-long commercial break, I had a chance to pull up the news story that you're talking about. It's Dateline Camp Pendleton, and we need to be clear here that charges were dismissed, but this is not an exoneration. A military judge dismissed charges against a Marine officer accused of failing to investigate the killings. So this is about command issues. It is not about the actual events on the ground, which occurred on November 19th of 2005. And just to recap for you, 24 Iraqi civilians, including 15 women and children, were killed in apparent retaliation for the death of an American soldier at a roadside checkpoint. An IED went off, an American soldier was killed, and his buddies were outraged. And based on the news accounts at the time that I recall, they went on a vengeful binge. And this 13-man squad was accused of killing 24 people. So I would just like to stop our conversation here for a minute because you countered the discussion of the official torture policy of the Bush administration by trying to say that somehow I'm not being fair because this alleged acquittal was announced today. No, it was a dismissal of charges, and I don't see any equivalency between the two. My point is that the torture policy was intentional, it was unconstitutional, it's immoral, and that these people, including Rumsfeld, created a deniability chain that permitted them to lie about this on a continuing basis. And I think there is blood on the hands of almost every top official in the Bush administration. And to try to compare that somehow to the accused misdeeds of soldiers in Iraq, I think is bizarre.
It is a little bizarre. Maybe I didn't define what I was saying succinctly enough. What I was saying is you're talking about these detainees in Guantanamo Bay being found innocent. Just as the Marines, okay, the charges were dismissed, as were the charges for detainees. Maybe they weren't found innocent. Maybe charges were dismissed. And I just think you're giving the detainees the benefit of the doubt that you're not giving our soldiers who are fighting in unthinkable conditions. And if these people reacted in a combat situation where one of their soldiers were killed, and they were probably defending themselves. I mean, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, these are boys and women just like you and me. These soldiers aren't George Bush. They aren't Donald Rumsfeld. They're people just like you and me, put in an unthinkable situation, and they aren't murderers. They're people who are trying to fight basically for their lives. And I'm not saying that they should have been put there, mm-hmm. but that's not their decision. They were put there by our country.
But Drew, let's be fair here. I am neither, you know, trying to pile on in the cases of soldiers accused of killing civilians in Iraq, and neither am I going to defend those who are actually guilty of that. Earlier today, we were talking with Chris Hedges. His new book is called Collateral Damage, and it's based on interviews with Iraqis and with American soldiers in the combat zone. And one of the things that turned up that we talked about with Hedges is that many of these units carry what they call throwaway weapons, AK-47s and other things that can be left at a scene to create the illusion that they were attacked by the people who are now lying dead on the ground there. And I'm not making a broad-based accusation that every unit does this, but it is reported to be widespread, and that suggests that there is a whole concept of cover-up that is part of our occupation of Iraq. And for that, I do not demonize individual soldiers, but I do demonize the higher-ups and the civilian authorities who created the context, the atmosphere, and the tolerance of that kind of behavior.
Point well taken, Peter. And you know, just what one more thing. I know you have other callers, so I'll make this brief. Just because prisoners or detainees in Guantanamo were found innocent of charges, you know how our legal system works. It doesn't mean they're all innocent.
Wait a minute. It's not a legal system at Guantanamo. That's the whole point. That's why they put those people there, to be beyond the reach of our courts. And gratefully, the Supreme Court has not agreed with the power grab and this extra-legal behavior by the Bush administration. Understand very clearly, Drew, that after 5.5 years of being held there without charge and often interrogated using these brutal methods that do amount to torture, just ask Admiral Mora for his opinion. He gave it on the Hill today. I'm sorry. You know, there wasn't a process. It was simply that they realized that they had picked up an innocent person. But those individuals were not allowed a legal process to assert their innocence, and that is a fundamental flaw of the way all this was conducted. Drew, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for checking in today. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of a mission accomplished, of course, as you might know, the gas prices have tripled since the reinvasion of Iraq 5 years ago. And I've seen Byron Dorgan on the floor of the Senate talking yesterday about, you know, oil exploration, because the conservatives, they always like to talk about the wacko environmentalists won't let us look for oil and all that. He was mentioning the fact that there's all this oil, for some reason, that's out there in the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
There's no exploring going on right now. And there's these other countries like France and China that are getting oil off the coast of Cuba. But, of course, we're not getting any oil off the coast of Cuba because we have a trade embargo. And we can't look for oil there because of this wonderful trade embargo.
Well, Joe, we do drill in the Gulf of Mexico. There are rigs off Louisiana and Mississippi, to my knowledge. And I don't recall if Florida permits it, but I do know in the central Gulf there, off New Orleans, there are quite a few platforms.
Yeah, well, it seems like according to Byron Dorgan, there's quite a bit more there that we could be doing, and he seemed to think that there wouldn't be as much damage to the, you know, the environment,
mm-hmm.
and all that as you would have in some of these other places like Alaska and all that. And I just thought that was kind of interesting, because I always hear these idiot right wingers on the radio,
mm-hmm.
These wacko environmentalists, they won't let us drill for oil. But, you know, is it these wacko environmentalists that have made the gas prices triple in the last 5 years since we reinvaded Iraq? That seems to be a leap in logic to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Joe, this is a little tangential, but I'll mention it because it's related to oil. One of the things that I think the government could do to produce, more transparency and ultimately help lower the cost of gasoline at our pumps here in the United States would be to require the oil companies to publicly disclose their accounting. And here's my reason. ExxonMobil ran some full-page ads all last week in the New York Times, and I saw a couple of them. And one of them showed, for example, that about 34% of the gasoline in the United States is derived from crude oil that actually is pumped out of the ground or from these offshore platforms in the Gulf, but from U.S. territory. And another 20% or so comes from Canada. And these are producing wells that are not really pegged to the world crude oil benchmark price, the spot market. So, for example, I think the cost of a barrel dropped to about $130 today, somewhere in that range. Well, the 34% of oil being pumped in the United States and converted or refined into gasoline is not being paid for at $130 a barrel. It's on the books of these oil companies or subsidiaries or our related companies. But we know from the numbers that surfaced in the 1990s that there were wells that weren't worth pumping oil out of until the price of a barrel got above $40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that spread between $40 and $130 is where the oil companies are taking huge profits, and there's no risk involved there. It is simply pure profit taking. And so if we were able to examine the books of the companies and see exactly how much oil they're actually buying at over $100 a barrel right now, we would be able to see, just how much they are fleecing us as they pass through these higher crude costs to the pump. And I think that that's an interesting way that Washington could demand some accountability from the oil companies in a way that would ultimately benefit consumers, but it wouldn't require the kind of intrusive, nationalization of oil companies or price controls like Nixon attempted back in the 70s.
Well, I don't think that was an unimportant point for you to make at all. I look at the way things are going, and quite frankly, nationalizing oil wouldn't be that bad an option compared to what these idiotic politicians are letting the oil companies get away with right now. Nobody's doing anything about this.
Yeah, you're right. Only John McCain is out there pandering with his gas tax holiday because he knows that there is zero risk of that actually becoming fact.
Yes, well, to help him, too.
All right, thank you, Joe. Now to Bill in Sausalito. Hello, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Listen, have you heard anything more on Bugliosi's plan to go after Bush for the Magic 187, that's murder in California?
Right. Well, he was on the show, and he is out there promoting his book, but as I think he alluded to on the program, and he was a little more forthcoming off the air, it's very difficult for him to get airtime. He said that all of his past books, he's been invited on the Today Show and all those morning TV shows, and he would expect to have been invited on the political shows ranging from Hannity and Combs to O'Reilly to Chris Matthews, but he's getting dead silence when his publicists call and try to set up an interview. So there is a blackout on the book in many respects. And Bugliosi is an interesting guy, a lot of ego there. I don't know if you heard the interview with him, but he's kind of hard to corral. And he spent 2 hours with Ron Owens on KGO in San Francisco. I've never heard of Owens having a guest on for more than an hour. And I heard parts of that. And, Bugliosi is a brilliant guy, but he gets in his own way just because his ego is so huge.
But I have to believe if he says he has a case, he can make the case. I mean, I have to believe that. I mean, with his past, I mean,
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just wondering, I'm not really asking about if he's been on the shows. What's the scuttlebutt, if anything, coming out of the district attorney circuits around the country? Because that's who he's speaking to, isn't it?
Yes, and I have heard none.
Ah.
I haven't called up any DAs or U.S. attorneys and asked, but I haven't heard anybody saying, oh, yeah, I got that Bugliosi book, and I'm going to file charges on Monday.
Well, I'm certainly going to ask the district attorney of my county to do that. We have a KIA here, and I don't see what if Bugliosi makes a reasonable case in there, then it seems to me the DA needs to say why he wouldn't go after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have a good point.
Thank you very much.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call today.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break and return to the Free Speech Zone. I got lines open and room for another caller or two. 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? Why don't you program it into that fancy BlackBerry or your iPhone? 1-888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to share a podcast of this hour or any portion of the Peter B. Collins Show with a friend, just grab the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Salinas. Espinosa Road at 101, two-car crash, CHP on the scene. It's just a fender bender. From Monterey, 68 at York Road, new crash there. Two cars, they're both off to the right-hand shoulder. From Monterey, northbound 1 at 218, a separate crash with three cars. That's all in the center divide. CHP's on the scene. They've got a couple of tow trucks on the way. And bitter news for San Benito County, 101 at Rocks Road. We had grass fires on both sides of the roadway. The fire's out. Everything's open there, but northbound traffic slow from Ralph Lane and Prunedale. Southbound traffic reportedly backed up for several miles. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota service departments. Toyota owners through June buy four tires matched to your Toyota by their trained technicians and receive a gas card worth $50. Road hazard coverage included. Visit participating Toyota dealers for details. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
With gentleness overcome anger. With generosity overcome meanness. With truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
It was easy to tell. It was love from above that could save me from hell. Shit fire in a soul. It was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. And the soul in the room keeping time with her hands. And we sang, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. And a voice in his face.
Lines open if you have a comment here at the last minute. There's room for you to jump in at 888-5-PETER-B. And to Bill from Sausalito, who was on just before the break, I had an afterthought, Bill, regarding Vincent Bugliosi's plan to bring a murder charge against George W. Bush. Tomorrow, in our 4 o'clock Pacific hour, We're going to talk about the Kucinich impeachment articles. Thank you. And our expert, one of the experts, is Elizabeth De La Vega, a former U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney from the San Jose office. And she's written widely and very intelligently about issues of criminal behavior by the Bush administration, and she's been an advocate of impeachment. So I think you'll find that interesting. And when Betsy De La Vega is with us tomorrow, I'll try to remember to ask her about Bugliosi's angle here on using the 187, the murder charge, as a way to bring Bush to justice. As Bugliosi pointed out in the interview about 2 weeks ago, he said that there is no statute of limitations on a murder charge. There is the issue, as we pointed out earlier, about whether high-level officials have immunity for the actions they take while in office, and that issue may be settled by the Supreme Court before a Bugliosi murder case came to trial. Andy's in New York. Welcome back to the show, Andy. How are you doing today?
Fine, Peter. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
You did a nice job handling that call about the, I think it was Doug, talking about Haditha.
That's Drew from my
room. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
All I got to say is military justice is the biggest oxymoron going.
Well, and I don't know if you followed it, but there's a great writer who's published in The Nation and other outlets named Joanne Wypajewski. It's a long Polish name, but I think I've pronounced it pretty close to correctly. And she has covered all of the trials, the courts martial, of the soldiers who've been accused either of breaking the law at Abu Ghraib or in the various civilian killing cases that have surfaced over the last 5 years in Iraq. And the coverage is chilling because, you know, these trials occur often at remote military bases, and the corporate media doesn't have too much interest in them. They don't cover them, you know, from beginning to end. They basically send a reporter and camera to show up when a decision is reached, and they often report that without any context or critical reporting.
Right. Well, in a war zone, you can't get the evidence anyway. It's very difficult, and they do as much as they can to obfuscate, to distort the situation.
And I will concede to Drew or anyone else that I was not in Haditha. I was not in Mahmoudiya. I have to rely on news accounts and the official military reports that are usually the basis for these investigations and, if it leads to it, a court-martial. And so, you know, I wasn't there. I don't have any eyewitness contacts. And so we're all at the mercy of the information that is delivered to us. And all I can say is that, you know, people misconstrued a decision by a court-martial to dismiss the charges against a commander, or at least somebody of rank, for a failure to investigate. It's not related to the validity of the underlying charges.
Right. As you so succinctly said to Drew. Anyway, just real quick, this Angelo Mozzillo thing with Chris Dodd and Kent Conrad.
Yeah.
I think the real problem here is, what was the quid pro quo? What doesn't happen in Congress or in the Senate? What does Angelo get for this? You know, there was total deregulation, predatory lending run wild, subprime loans, liar loans, negative amortizations of balloons. I mean, that's the problem. Countrywide was giving loans to anybody that had a pulse, and there was no regulation, nobody reining this guy in. Mozzillo, and that's the problem with this. The crime or the impropriety that these guys took of taking the low-point loan and getting a break, it doesn't seem like that much, but what did Angelo get for this? That's the problem.
You raise a very good point, and we still have a situation where Chuck Schumer is representing hedge fund operators and not consumers or victims of predatory lending.
Right. He's a complete lackey
of
Wall Street. That's what Schumer's job is.
And what is he doing it for?
Interference for Wall Street.
And one of the reasons is that he's the cash collector for this year's Senate races. And he knows that these, even in a down cycle, that these are wealthy people who will max out in their contributions to the Democratic Senate campaigns. And so that's the quid pro quo. I can't explicitly say that Dodd or Conrad you know, had that in mind. But we know that as a body, the United States Senate has not tried to provide oversight or enforcement of the fundamentals over the banking industry and the hedge funds and Wall Street in general that just ran wild and has left us holding the bag.
Right. It's capitalism run amok.
Thanks, Andy. Final word is from Thomas in Santa Cruz on the program today. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Peter B. I was just interested in the call from the gentleman from Monterey also about the Haditha situation.
Yeah.
I would just suggest that he can go to IVAW.org or .com, I can't remember, and listen to the soldiers in the Winter Soldier testimony, and he might find plenty of interesting discussion there as to what some of our soldiers have done. And if he's so much about defending our soldiers, then I would suggest he support the bringing out of the truth about the crimes of the Bush administration and put the proper people in prison.
Indeed. And who was I talking to when I was in Cincinnati last week with Paul Hackett, still in the Marines, and he volunteered to serve in Iraq. And his fear is that the soldiers are going to get blamed for this law-breaking and barbaric behavior, not the political civilians who put them up to it. Thank you very much, Thomas.
Happy trails to you.
My thanks to Brian Urban, our assistant producer, taking your calls today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Meet me right here by the radio.
Happy trails to you.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The pumps are running nonstop in Burlington, Iowa, struggling to hold back the Mississippi River. It breached a levee at Gulfport, Illinois today, flooding thousands of acres of crops. Other rivers and streams have started to recede, and as CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports, people are returning to confront the damage.
5 days after floodwaters took over her Cedar Rapids home, Ann Graves saw it today for the first time.
Start over.
Yep, that's what we're going to do.
She and husband Mike say their homecoming was bitter rather than sweet.
Love's gone now.
Everything is a total loss.
If I sit and mope about it, then it'll just sit here and I won't do anything about it. I just got to go on.
Thousands of other residents are still being kept clear of their waterlogged neighborhoods, swamped by Cedar Rapids' worst ever flood.
The Red Cross says its disaster relief fund is empty. It's hoping to raise at least $15 million. Charles Dean Hood was just over an hour away from execution in Huntsville, Texas, when a judge intervened late today. Hood was convicted of fatally shooting a man and a woman in 1989. But his lawyers have raised questions about a possible affair between the trial judge and one of the prosecutors. Lawrence Fox is a former chairman of the American Bar Association's Ethics Committee.
I think they've got a very good claim that this defendant is entitled to a new trial, because this is not the appearance of impropriety by the judiciary. This is impropriety itself.
Fox calls the stay of execution a very pleasant surprise. This scene was repeated hundreds of times today.
By the virtue of the authority vested in me by the state of California and by the authority of your love for each other, I pronounce you lawfully wedded spouses for life.
Same-sex couples in San Francisco and elsewhere took advantage of the first full day of legalized gay marriage. In West Hollywood, Star Trek actor George Takei and his partner Brad Altman obtained a license for a wedding in September. Dancer-actress Sid Charisse, a star of Hollywood's movie musicals in the 1940s and 50s, died in Los Angeles today. She was